Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I have with me a very, very accomplished entrepreneur from the world of media, who's also an author, Mr. Yvon McCormick from Austin, Texas, USA. Yvon, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it. Well, I know it's not a good morning for you, so I think it's good afternoon for you.
Okay, yes. So, Yvon, it's Yvon is the president and CEO of Scribe Media. He's been ranked the number one in top company culture in America by Entrepreneur Magazine. So, Yvon, you know, when I was reading about you, I was fascinated by your incredible journey from your childhood. Before we get into Scribe Media, tell me a little bit about your journey and some of the amazing challenges that you managed to overcome.
Oh gosh, where do you want me to start? I'll give you the quick overview, and if you want to dive into details, we can. My here in the States, my dad, he was a black pimp. He put women on the street corner. The women sold their bodies, and my dad took every dollar. So my dad was black. My mom was white. My mom was raised in an orphanage, so she does know where her family comes from. I've got a last name now, McCormick. Still don't know where my last name comes from. My mom got it in the orphanage. So I grew up here in the States, mixed race. Back in the when I grew up, mixed race was not a good look in the, in this country. For some people, it still isn't. I was in and out of juvenile prison three different times as a kid. I was sexually molested by one of my dad's prostitutes at the age of 6, 7, 8 years old. I never graduated high school here in the States. I have a GED, never went to college or university. So yeah, that was, you know, my dad fathered 23 children. I'm one of 23. I'm the only one by my mom, but my dad had 23 children. I was abandoned with some of my half brothers and sisters. I was homeless for a time at 13. But I give you all of that. But at the same time, so many lessons came from my childhood of growing up in chaos, growing up in stress, growing up in poverty, you know, eating from trash cans. So many people have said to me, oh my gosh, you had every reason to not succeed. And that statement actually bothers me, because I see it the other way. I had every reason to succeed.
Correct.
Because if you can make it through all of those situations, the rest of this is pretty easy. So it's That's really my childhood. Nice. My first job out of high school was cleaning toilets. And so here I am.
Amazing. What an amazing journey. And, you know, as you were going through this journey and coming to Scribe Media, what were some what were some of the lessons that you would may want to share with our viewers and listeners? Life lessons.
Life lessons. I believe that there's a positive in every negative situation. You heard me lay out my background. One specific situation I'll give to you that was very, very influential in my life. I was left in a house with my three half brothers and sisters. We got left for 3 weeks in February in Ohio, which was very, very cold. And we got left with no food, and I would have to walk down to the store and leave my sister. They were 4, 3, and 2, and I'd have to leave her while I went down to the store and stole food. What the life lesson there for me was, is that I made it through that. And I've never faced anything more stressful in life. Income statements, balance sheets, you know, growing a company. Those things are pretty easy compared to, you know, being 12 years old and left with your siblings to have to take care of them. So life lessons for me really is finding the positives out of all those situations. Even my dad, as he wasn't the best father, obviously, but the lesson that came from that was he taught me how to not be a father and the things that I wanted to do different. And then I'll leave this last one with you that came from my dad. He said, no matter what you do in life, be the best at it. And he said, if you're going to sweep the streets, be the best street sweeper. So it's interesting that lesson came from him, but everything that I attempt to do in life, I attempt to be the best at it.
Amazing. Amazing. So now let's come to Scribe Media. What led you to the world of books, given all the challenges you went through? And not only that, but you seem to have built an amazing business.
Wow. So I was actually the president of a software company before Scribe Media. I had helped scale that software company. We were 13 people. We scaled that company to over 100 people with offices in Houston, Dallas, Austin, and Monterey, Mexico. And so what's interesting is I don't write code. I was president of a software company, but I don't write code. And so we scaled that company. I then got introduced to the two original co-founders of Scribe Media. The company was about 13 months old, and I was looking to do my book. I wanted to write my story for my kids, and I needed someone to help me. So the company, that's obviously what we do, is we help authors write, publish, and market their books. So I got introduced, and the two co-founders asked me if I would give them insight on the company as I went through the process. And I said, yeah, why not? Fast forward, I would give them feedback. Then they asked me if I'd be on their board. Then they invited me to an executive meeting. And then one day they invited me to coffee. And they said, hey, if we give you a ton of equity in the company, would you become the CEO? Wow. And so I thought to myself, well, I've been the president of a software company and I can't write code. Now I can be the CEO of a publishing company and I can't spell and I can't tell you an adverb from an adjective. So I was like, hey, count me in. And what's interesting, here's the interesting part of all this is now I'm the largest equity owner of the company. So it's been a journey, but again, I just set out to be the best that I can be at whatever I'm going to do.
Amazing. Amazing. And so, you know, when I was reading about you, Yvonne, you say that we help experts, executive and entrepreneurs turn their ideas into books. Help me understand for our viewers and listeners, what is the process you follow?
So I'll use me for an example. I had all of my story in my head, but again, I can't spell. It's very hard for me to put a sentence together. And so I needed assistance in doing my book. So what our process allowed me to do was speak my book out loud. And then the company, or my scribe, my writer, would then structure and make sure my story flowed correctly. But they would pull the details from me, ask additional questions to get me to talk about the topics that I was wanting to put in the book. So with the beauty in that was I didn't have to actually write anything, but the book is my tone, my voice, my words, my content. It's my book. It's not the traditional sense of ghostwriting where if you ask me to go write a book about the iPhone, I go off, do research, and then come back, and then there's your manuscript. No, this is your words, your tone, your voice, your content, your book. Wow. So that's the process in being able to speak my book out loud and have someone to make sure that it was proofread correctly, edited correctly, flowed correctly. Then they capture all your, we capture all your words. We do the cover design, the interior layout. We get the book registered properly. We get it published and up on Amazon, iBooks, Google Play, so on and so forth. And the whole process takes anywhere from 9 to 12 months, depending on how fast the author wants to go. But again, what this has done for so many authors, it's given them the opportunity to be a published author, achieve their dream and goal of being a published author. And what greater accomplishment that now your words are always captured in the world.
Amazing. So, you know, it's always been said that everyone has one book inside them.
Yeah.
What do you look at before you decide to publish an author?
So the great majority of what we do is nonfiction. We do memoirs and nonfiction. We don't do fiction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What we look for is, why is the person looking to write the book? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose? Let's define success before mm-hmm. we even publish the book. Mm-hmm. So give you an example of this. I'll use my book again as an example. Mm-hmm. For me, I didn't care if my book sold any copies. Mm-hmm. I just needed 5 copies of my book to leave as a legacy piece for my children, because mm-hmm. I don't have a family lineage. Mm-hmm. So my goal was, I need 5 copies as a legacy piece to pass down to my great, great, great grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Now, someone else, their goal may be credibility. It may be lead generation. It may be thought leadership. We've got some of our authors who have never sold a copy of their book. They've given their book away for free, mm-hmm. but they've ended up generating millions of dollars for their company. So it just depends on the purpose of the book, of why someone's wanting to do it. But mm-hmm. first and foremost, we want to define success. That mm-hmm. when we get to the end of this book, what does success look like for you? And if someone says, I want to sell 1 million copies and I want to be a New York Times bestseller, we actually won't work with them, because mm-hmm. that person is searching for fame. That's mm-hmm. not our business model. Our business model is to help people who have a specific goal mm-hmm. In mind for their book, and fame's not a goal.
Amazing, amazing. So my next few questions are about actually writing and publishing a book. What goes into writing a good book? And I know I'm saying a good book, and that's a very subjective point.
I would, for me, what I've seen with many of the authors, and when I'm asked that question, I would say putting all the details into the book, especially mm-hmm. someone that's doing a memoir. If you're doing a memoir, you got to put in the hard stories. You got to put in the details. So the example for me, being sexually molested, mm-hmm. I had to put that in the book. When I was 9 years old and I threw my baby sister across the room, that was a very hard story to put in the book. But the details, if you're looking to write a true, accurate book, you got to put the details in there. But on the flip side, let's say you're a wealth advisor, you're a financial planner, you've got to put those experiences in there that you have encountered with your clients, things mm-hmm. that you've helped people have done. So the more detailed the story, the better the book.
Well said. And what goes into marketing a book, to a large audience?
First, identifying your audience. So mm-hmm. so again, you heard me talk about one of our authors that comes top of mind. Mm-hmm. He's never sold a copy of his book. So his audience are attorneys. He helps attorneys to grow their business. Mm. He gives his book away for free, and he's literally generated almost $10 million giving his book away for free. Mm-hmm. So he knew his audience. So that's very key, is correct. Who's your target audience? That's the first key in how do we market a successful book, is who are we trying to target? And, we get so many authors will say, well, everybody can benefit from this book. Okay, that may be true, but we need to identify who's the audience that we're after with this book. Mm-hmm. If everybody else afterwards benefits from it, great. But up front, who is the target audience?
Very interesting. You know, there are so many people I know who are wanting to publish their stories, and I'm sure they will listen to you and reach out to you. But, you won't tell me, over the years that you've been running a business in publishing, how is technology changing publishing?
You know, it's interesting, because I've said this from the very beginning. The most printed book of all time is the Bible.
Correct.
And so I say this to everyone when they ask about how is technology changing publishing. Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the day, a book is a book is a book. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter to us if a book is going to be hardcover, mm-hmm. paperback, audiobook, Kindle. I'm going to show my age on this one.
Yeah.
When books were on cassettes, books were on CDs. Now books are on Spotify. And so my point to that is, no matter what the technology is, a book will always be a book. It's still the content that goes into a book. If one day we have books on holograms, okay, great. We'll be right there having our books on holograms, but the technology does not change the fact that a book is a book is a book. Well, the Bible was printed on many different, exactly. Now it's on audiobook, or you can get it on cassette. Now you can listen to it on Spotify. So it doesn't matter what the technology is. A book will always be a book.
Well said. The other question that I have for you is that over the years, have you started to see a change in reading habits? I'd love to get your perspective on, are the younger generation reading enough?
I personally, the younger generation, what you see now is they consume in very small bits of information. Mm-hmm. And I feel that social media is a big factor in that. It's what's the quick post, the quick read, let me go off to the next thing. The other piece, you see a lot of reading habits, so much of it has shifted to audiobooks. And it's because it makes it a little more convenient that I can pause, stop, pick back up where I left off. I can listen. And so you have seen a change in habits, but we still have a huge amount of people, young and old, who still prefer a book in their hand, an actual physical book. But by far, audiobooks is the biggest change that I would say you see happening. But yes, habits have changed, unfortunately. Fortunately, unfortunately, I don't know. It depends on how you look at it. Social media has had a lot to do that. You know, the quick hit you see on Twitter, the quick blog post you see on any social media platform. And to that point, I appreciate you bringing that up. We have a lot of people who write blog posts who think they can write a book. And we tell them, I go like, no, that's not a book. That's a blog post. So because they just don't have enough content for a book.
Correct. Well said. So I'm now going to move to the next segment of our conversation. You know, my viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. So I have three or four questions for you, what I call my personal questions. You have shared with me a lot about your personal life, but I'd like you to tell me, what would you say would be three key milestones or pivot points in your life or your career?
One, a big one is accepting that we as humans all make mistakes. I've made a ton of mistakes for years. I could not hold a relationship. I didn't know how to treat a woman. I didn't know how to have a relationship. I never saw my dad treat women respectfully. I never saw my mom be treated respectfully. Therefore, I ended up not really understanding how to have a healthy relationship. Now, here's the key to that. I don't blame my mom or dad. I'm an adult. I'm a grown man. I'm not going to make excuses. It's my responsibility to learn from my mistakes, grow from my mistakes, don't repeat my mistakes. So, you know, a piece of advice I would give to people in that is, look, we all make mistakes. Here's the goal. Learn, grow, don't repeat the mistake. You only fail if you stop trying. So my goal in life became, don't ever stop trying.
Wonderful. My next question to you is that for someone who has run businesses, is running a successful book business in publishing, what are the core values you believe in?
Number one, first and foremost, you asked me this question 3 years ago. You asked me this question 20 years from now. Put people first. Unfortunately, we, especially here in America, we've become a society where people have been looked at as just things that you can get rid of any given time. We're chasing the dollar. We're putting shareholders first. I have a deep belief that you put people first. The business is not hard. People, process, and profits. Mm-hmm. And with those profits, you do great things for the communities that you work and live in. But it all starts with putting people first. So many companies get it out of order. I've had people argue and debate with me. They're like, nope, process should go first. And I said, well, wait a minute. They said, you got to build a great process first. You have to have a great process before great people. And I said, okay, who's going to build the great process? People. So we're right back to putting people first. Yeah. Great people can build great process, which make great profits, which can do great things for the communities that we work and live in.
Well said. Well said. Well said. I have time for two more questions. My next question is that, from the stage of life that you are at today, what does success mean to Javon?
Morning, I wake up. So I have my five pillars in life. Mm-hmm. God, health, family, business, and investing. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't fall within those five pillars, I don't do it. So success to me is every day that I wake up and I'm healthy, my wife's healthy, my four children are healthy. That's a successful day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I given some of my background that I shared with you, if you said to me, I had to go back and relive my childhood five more times, but I get the life that I have now. Oh, sign me up. I have a wonderful life. I'm healthy. I wake up each day. And I was victimized as a kid, but I refused to stay in a victim mentality. Mm-hmm. Meaning, yeah, a lot of things happened to me. Mm-hmm. A lot of things were quote unquote unfair. Mm-hmm. I learned early in life as a child, life isn't fair. But life is a choice. Mm-hmm. You have a choice every day when you wake up. How are you going to see the world? Is it a positive day? Is it a negative day? When your feet hit the ground, how are you going to approach the day? Mm-hmm. We can all say the world is unfair. Life is unfair. That's great. But we all have a choice on how we view the world.
Amazing. And my last question to you, Javon, is, who or what keeps inspiring you?
Oh, wow. What inspires me? I'm a big fan of business. Obviously, I love business. I believe where we are at this point in the world, not just the United States, in the world, the thing that's going to bring the greatest change and the fastest change to humanity is going to be business. And it's going to be, how do we treat people? Mm. How do what business? It's okay to be profitable. It's okay to be immensely profitable, but it's profitability is not bad. It's what are we doing or what are we not doing with those profits? Mm. So what inspires me is, how do we do this better? We all have to work. We all have to pay our bills. We all have to eat for life. So how do we do this better? And that goes back for me of putting people first. How do I serve and support the people who I work with? So what inspires me is building an amazing company as big as we can possibly build it, so many people can benefit from this. Mm-hmm. Many people can be a part of this, because I truly believe for the health of humanity, mm-hmm. it's going to start with business. We've seen governments and politicians, they can't get it together. Mm. And but business, in my opinion, is the guiding light on how can we put people first with and then drive profits to be able to benefit even more people.
Mm. How amazing. Javon, on that note and the very powerful message that you have given, which you said your dad gave you, be the best you can. I want to say thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for so candidly sharing your incredible story from the time you were a child. Thank you for talking to me about Scribe Media and all the amazing work you are doing to bring stories of unpublished individuals to the world. Thank you for talking to me and good luck.
I appreciate it. I've got one more for you if you want it.
Yeah.
Three words as a child that I eliminated from my vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And my vocabulary is very limited. Mm-hmm. So okay. I eliminated the words hope, mm-hmm. wish, and luck. Wow. And I'll be very brief on why I eliminated mm-hmm. those. When I was a child and I would hope my dad would pick me up, he never showed up. When I would hope there was something to eat when I got home, it never produced anything. So I stopped hoping and I replaced hope with belief. And okay. the reason being is belief forces execution. If you believe you can have an amazing career, then you've got to execute to go have that career. If you believe you can have the big, beautiful home, then you've got to execute to go have the big, beautiful home. You can hope all day, but it's not going to produce anything.
Right.
And then the word wish, well, wish is just an ugly word. Doesn't do anything. You can sit back and wish all day. Oh, I wish my life was different. I wish I had the big house. I wish I had a career. Well, you have to go and execute to make those things happen. So I eliminated hope. I eliminated wish. Matter of fact, I mentioned I've got four children. So we do a lot of birthdays at my house. Mm-hmm. When the birthday cake is set on the table and it's time to blow out the candles, at the McCormick house, we don't make a wish. When we talk to our kids, we say, okay, blow out the candles, make a goal, because wishing does not produce anything. And then the last one, luck. Many people said I had an unlucky childhood. No, I didn't. I had a phenomenal childhood because all of the things that I went through taught me and helped me to be where I am today. So I don't believe in luck.
Wow. These are, again, three amazing words that you have given to all of us. But thank you again for sharing your amazing journey. Thank you and good luck.
Excellent. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.